This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites with me, Angeline Tay and Arvin Yuvaraj.
Yeah, so now before we talk about today's stories, just a quick update. Snap has gone public and stock soared up to 44% on their first day of trading, valuing the company at $28 billion.
Wow. And the market debut of the popular video messaging app yesterday catapulted its 20-something co-founders, Evan Spiegel and Bobby Murphy, into the top tier of the tech billionaires. Mm-hmm. Shortly after the pair rang the opening bell on the New York Stock Exchange, the company's share price rose 41% from its guide price of $17 a share to an opening price of $24.
Yeah, they closed at $24.48, giving the companies a market value of $28 billion US, and that's on par with CBS and Target, which is crazy, right? Because yeah, Target has been around since 1902. That's like 114 years, and Snap has only been around since 2011.
Yeah, because Target doesn't have filters to make you vomit rainbow. Okay, and that's why. Anyway, let's take things back to the local market because there's one tussle that's still ongoing. Mm-hmm. The Chat Time saga has been a bit quiet of late following the Malaysian franchisee's rebranding of its store to Tea Live.
I'm going with Tea Live.
Tea Live. Okay, let's call it Tea Live. Mm-hmm. And we knew the lull moment wouldn't last for long. And lo and behold, La Cafa has made its next move.
Yes, they have. So where do we begin with all this? It's like a lawyer's fantasy, this whole grudge match thing. The Chat Time brand owner from Taiwan, La Cafa International, has now filed for an injunction to stop outgoing Chat Time franchisee Loop Holding from continuing under the rebranded image, which is Tea Live or Tea Live. The suit was filed at the Kuala Lumpur High Court on grounds that the estranged companies had a pending case before the Singapore International Arbitration Centre.
Mm, the injunction also cited bad faith by Loop Holding over allegedly misleading media statements by the company's CEO, Brian Liu, and the Malaysian company's capacity to continue operating by rebranding its Chat Time stores. La Cafa feels hard done by because they feel Loop has not only breached their contractual obligations to La Cafa, but is now attempting to gobble up the market share that they feel they established with Chat Time here in Malaysia, and plus they feel they gave Loop the know-how and technology to run the bubble tea franchise here.
Mm-hmm. In case you're just catching up, the feud went public earlier this year when Loop Holding announced that La Cafa terminated its franchisee contract 24 years prematurely and that they feared for the livelihood of Chat Time's 1,000 plus employees. Why the termination? Well, La Cafa claimed Loop owed them royalty monies and that Loop was not using the raw materials stipulated under their contract, but instead Loop was sourcing their own raw materials locally.
Mm. Loop, however, vowed to take care of their own, and just over a month after the news broke, announced a new brand, Tea Live. I forgot, what was it again?
Tea Life.
To replace its 161 Chat Time outlets in Malaysia.
Yeah, but recent reports, however, have begun to surface some damning evidence that maybe Loop Holding knew that they were infringing on their franchise contract with La Cafa. According to the supporting affidavits obtained by The Star, La Cafa stated that the dispute and eventual termination of their contract had been brewing for a year, adding that Loop owed the Taiwanese entities some $644,000, which amounts to almost about 2.9 million ringgit in outstanding payments. Mm.
La Cafa had apparently realized in January 2016, more than a year ago, that mm-hmm. Loop was cutting down on orders of raw materials from La Cafa despite booming business, prompting them to request justification and an audit, which was denied last May. And La Cafa began building its case against Loop in August and had threatened to terminate their contract should Loop continue to purchase raw materials from third party.
Yeah, there's like a thick 333-page supporting affidavits that also reveal the scope of La Cafa's investigations, including 30 undercover videos.
Wow.
Yeah, taken of Malaysian Chat Time stores using the third-party cups, media statements by Loop, plus records of emails, letters, and meetings in Taiwan between the two companies over breach of the contract. And you know it's intense when people bring like a whole textbook full of evidence to take you down, right?
Yeah, not just documents, videos as well.
Mm-hmm.
The documents also state that the termination of of the RERA imposed on non-competition obligation onto Loop, which would be made invalid if the injunction was not granted. And so if the injunction was allowed by the court, this means that Loop would have to stop operations immediately.
Mm-hmm. And Loop confirmed that its lawyers were aware of the injunction application and already in the litigation process, and that the injunction was fixed to be heard before High Court Judge Wong Kian Kiong on May 29.
This franchise drama keeps getting more and more intense.
Yeah,
on one side, if La Cafa's claims are true, then it doesn't look good for Loop. But in any scenario, Loop has a steep uphill battle in front of them. We'll just have to see if T-Live can live on past all this, or if both companies can come to some kind of understanding. I know Cha Time or T-Live has a lot of loyal fans here, so
yeah,
let's see.
They do. Anyway, moving on from one rivalry to another, this time by competing brands in China.
Yeah, you know how sometimes it's just better to go back to the simple basics even when everyone else is heading in the opposite direction? China is going through that phase now, and bicycle rentals or bicycles on demand are like the next big money pit right now. And it finally has its first $1 billion valued company called Ofo.
So it's basically their first unicorn at this point. It's not actually that surprising because Ofo managed to secure about $300 million from investors over the last year, and the Beijing-based company announced that it closed $450 million in the Series D round led by DST recently.
Now here's the interesting part. Didi Chu Xing invested in Ofo via a financing deal last year, and they have their fingerprints all over this round as well. Now if you're wondering why this is juicy news, it's because Didi has been in a rivalry with Uber in China for a long time, until Uber finally surrendered and actually sold their China business to their rival.
And I think Didi sees the comparisons between their own rivalry with Uber and Ofo's rivalry with Mobike at the moment. So basically, Mobike is also running the same bicycle on-demand service and has raised capital from Tencent, from Xiaomi, from Sequino China, and Singaporean Temasek, and a bunch of others as well. Mobike quickly claimed to be the most capitalized startup of its kind, but then Ofo snapped back by saying that they're the first unicorn of this business model.
But all these labels don't mean anything, and just, you know, it just got an ego contest.
Yeah,
the real value is in the kind of service these two companies offer, and it's still blurry if Mobike and Ofo can sustain in the long term. Both services aim to democratize access to rental bikes by using technology. So basically, the bikes are tagged with GPS chips, which enable them to be rented via mobile app, without needing to be stored in a central location, because it's a common place for bike rental services like London's Boris Bikes or, you know, similar government-backed programs across the world to use this kind of mechanism.
Yeah, but the thing is that mechanism makes them hugely convenient, or bigly convenient, but the business margins are less clear because it only costs about 15 cents US per hour per bike. And of course, there are issues around vandalism. You know, people can be jerks sometimes. So you have to juggle deposits, maintenance fees, and make sure that the bikes themselves are used properly. And then you have to make sure that this 15 cents is enough to make some kind of profit in the long run.
Okay, so in terms of scale, Ofo claims it has rented out more than 1 million cycles since June to over 20 million registered users. So that's big. And China has a super population, so there's still room to grow a lot. Its business covers close to 40 cities in China, while it claims to be in the early stages of expanding into the US, UK and Singapore. No news of Malaysia just yet, but then again, we have our own bicycle renting services already, so let's focus on those first.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Mobike recently claimed to have served more than 10 million unique users who have completed over more than 200 million paid rides. It has expected to cover 21 cities in China, including Beijing, Shanghai, Guangzhou, and Shenzhen. And like Ofo, Mobike wants to venture into overseas markets in Asia, Europe, and North America this year. So in a nutshell, Didi buying Uber China ended the four-wheel rivalry, and now the two-wheel rivalry is beginning. So much drama over bicycles.
Yeah, too much drama. Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about a new robot by Boston Dynamics that runs like a horse. It's pretty cool. That's up next on Enterprise BizBytes, BFM 89.9.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
You're still listening to Angie and Arvin on Enterprise Biz Bytes. We're moving on. Google Launchpad Accelerator Class 4 is now calling out for applications and Malaysian startups are welcome to apply.
Yeah, so it's basically a six-month program to help entrepreneurs by means of mentorship, training and equity-free support at the Google Developers Launchpad space in San Francisco. The program will also consist of a two-week all-expenses-paid training workshop at the Google headquarters in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, and accepted entrepreneurs will also receive access to various Google engineers, mentors, as well as resources. The participants will also receive various marketing opportunities through Google and credits for Google products.
Yeah, some startups who apply will be asked to participate in a one-hour video conference with one of the Google team members. In some cases, face-to-face interviews will also be conducted.
Mm. And so here's what they're looking for when selecting startups. All startups in the program must be a tech startup, be targeting their local markets and have proven product market fit, which is beyond the ideation stage.
Mm-hmm. They also consider the problem you have or you are trying to solve. How does it create value for users? How are you addressing a real challenge for your home city, country or region? And does the management team have a leadership mindset and the drive to become an influencer? Will they share what they learn in Silicon Valley for the benefit of other startups in their local ecosystem?
Mm. And the application is closing on the April 25th, 2017, 1 a.m. So if this sounds like you, you've got about a month and a half to put in your submission. And for more information, you can just visit developers.google.com/startups/accelerator.
Yeah, I think this is a really good opportunity for anyone trying to get into this field. Plus, it's Google, so it doesn't get any bigger than that. Our next story, though, is my favorite of the day because obviously it has something to do with robots. I'll say it again. I'm fully supportive of smart robots. I hope they remember this when they achieve self-awareness one day and they come after us all. Just keep in mind that I love robots 100%.
But this robot isn't going to come after us, though. It's kind of adorable, I think. Mm. Basically, engineering and robotics company Boston Dynamics has just revealed their fancy new robot called Handle.
Yeah, it actually moves like some kind of animal, like a horse or a dog, and is more creepy than adorable, actually. Anyway, if you remember back in 2008, there was a dog-like robot called Big Dog. Very creative. And it was also made by the same company. They showed this video of the robot and how it walked on four legs and it could withstand harsh terrains and even balance itself, you know?
Yeah, you could kick it.
Yeah, after being kicked and all. Yeah. But honestly, it's a creepy looking robot that sounds like an army of angry bees. I don't know why.
Boston Dynamics released a video today, on a Tuesday actually, of its new robot Handle in motion, where you could see it jumping onto ramps and gliding downstairs. So it's designed with both electric and hydraulic actuators. The practical functions of the robot showed it's moving about 100 pounds of boxes, which hints that the company is looking into building functional robots.
Yeah, we should not be allowing robots to do all these jumping and crawling things. I don't know what's up with the uncanny and creepy factor Boston Dynamics puts into its designs, but although it's not as noisy, the anthropomorphic design is equally as creepy as the one before. This is not the first time they had built something like this, as they previously released a humanoid robot of a similar function called Atlas, which was slower and it had more complex design.
Okay, so the Handle has only 10 actuated joints, which makes it much simpler design and easier production. That could mean we are one step closer to seeing, you know, Chappie in the market, though I'm not sure if we're all looking forward to that.
No, we're not, because that movie was horrible and Chappie is really annoying. but anyway, it's hard to describe what this exactly looks like, so you can go judge for yourself if this is creepy or adorable by checking out the link to the video from our podcast page or our app on the website.
And we've got one more segment to cover before we sign off from Enterprise Biz Bytes for the week. We'll be right back after this with some podcast recommendations for the weekend. So stick around, BFM 89.9.
Bickering frustrates Malaysians. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, that is Painted Black by Rolling Stones. And, you know, just before we went to this song, we were talking about, you know, we don't want robots to take over. And just imagine them singing to this song about...
like a robot cult.
Yeah, they're just chanting, over. Right? And the lyrics of this music is, I look inside myself and I see my heart is black. And,
No.
Anyway, let's round up the show with some really good podcast recommendations.
Okay, so we've come to the end of the show. And since it's a Friday, instead of giving you a recap of today's story, series. We're going to give you a recap of some of the best shows on our show, on our lineup throughout the whole week.
And so on Monday on Resource Centre, 1 p.m, it was the Endeavour Hour, Episode 7. And we talked to Sharif Zayek of Alisar on their journey to disrupt the global floral industry. So it was founded in a small neighbourhood flower shop back in 1979. Alisar is now one of the Middle East and North Africa region's leading floral solutions provider. So I spoke to Sharif, and he took over his father's business and transformed the entire industry by advising cut flower growers on advanced, you know, eco-friendly technologies. And on the show, he shared his plans to expand into Southeast Asia with the new B2B platform, which is floranow.com. And you can check out the podcast under Resource Center titled Endeavour Hour 7, Alisar's Journey to Disrupt Global Floral Industry.
Mm-hmm. And on 5 for Fortune, shameless plug, it's about the 5 most innovative companies in Hollywood. Because the Oscars just got done and it's a big week for movies, so I wanted to focus on Hollywood for this episode. Basically, making a movie is an expensive, complicated process that usually requires help of multiple companies for a single movie to happen, right? So if you want to find out who are some of these companies that are doing revolutionary work in either production, post-production, marketing, or all of the above, Wednesday's 5 for Fortune is the one for you to download. And if you enjoyed that, you should tune in next Wednesday for part 2 of the 5 most innovative companies in Hollywood. But for this one, I'll be focusing exclusively on startups. So that should be pretty interesting as well.
Yeah. And yesterday on Tech Talk, Karamjit Singh and his team from Digital News Asia talked about the whole bunch of stories in the tech space. Mm-hmm. TM's steady growth in the internet business, GetDot's plan on reimagining their healthcare services, Cradle's new investment product, Dahmakan, raising $1.3 million, and Jeff Sandu spoke to Go Tianyu about the Telco Battleground 2016 report, as Digi and Maxis both recorded a good year last year and Cellcom taking a hit.
Yeah, so if you miss any of those shows, just download the BFM app on your smartphone, or you can check out bfm.my. The app is just easier, just trust us. And hit the subscribe button to any of the shows that you're a fan of. Mm.
And now if you only have time for just one more interview to catch up over the weekend, you can check out this morning's interview with the co-founders of Open Minds Resources, Jen Wong and Daryl Tan. They started off during the time when, you know, social media consultant was actually unheard of. Mm-hmm. Looking like young chaps, they just left school and they had to convince clients to trust in their services of being a social media consultancy. Mm-hmm. So today, Open Minds Resources is valuated at $5 million. And Jen Wong is even nominated to be Forbes 30 Under 30 Asia. So here's a short clip about how they started.
I actually started my first company when I was 17 years old. So back then, it has nothing to do with social media. It was just a dream to sell computer hardware and that's it. But through this process of building that company of mine, I took a lot of time to really study what digital marketing really is. Back then, there was no social media. It was just Friendster. I spent a lot of time looking into search engine optimization and it worked. That just got me wondering and said, there's no radio ads, there were no television ads. I didn't spend a single cent on buntings and flyers. It was just search engine, and still I created something out of it.
Super interesting, right? Like, you can see how versatile he is. He jumped from, you know, one thing to another, seeing which works. Coming up next is the Breakfast Grill replay. Julian Ng speaks to Professor Dr. Sudhir Achagan, member of the Malaysia Competition Commission, or MYCC. Set up under the Competition Commission Act of 2010, MYCC's role is to enforce competition law as well as promote fair play and healthy competition within players. So they talked about what's been happening and which sectors it is focusing its efforts towards. That's coming up next at 12:30.
And this has been Enterprise Biz Bytes. Enjoy the rest of the show and have a lovely weekend, guys. I'm Angeline Tay, together with Arvind Yuvaraj, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.